praise report. Last Monday, they did an MRI. They were thinking that I had a light stroke. They were thinking that I had a lesion on my brain. What brings you through it is knowing that if he did it before, he can do it again. If he did it for somebody else, he can do it again. That's why I gotta hear this morning. Thank you.
can do it again. Amen. So when you read those Bible stories, the same thing the Lord did then, He can do right now. He is no less powerful now than He was then. Get a witness here. I'd like to direct your attention just for a few moments to a New Testament book, the Actions of the Apostles, or the Acts of the Apostles, Acts chapter 1. When you find that, say amen. Acts chapter 1. If you have it, say amen. Which also says, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven?
Yes, sir.
This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Amen. I want to talk just for a few moments about what goes up must come down. What goes up must come down. The law of gravity dictates that what goes up must come down.
Yes, sir.
Throw something in the sky and before long it will return to the ground.
Yeah.
However, depending on the object, the speed of return may be different. In other words, throw a feather up and it floats to the ground. Throw a rock up and you better move, because it could land on your head. Is that right? Amen. This law of reciprocity. What goes around comes around. What goes up must come down. Even Max and Priest understood that concept when he said, if you throw something against the wall, it comes back to you. Throw love against the wall, it comes back. Throw hate against the wall, it comes back. Throw joy against the wall, and it comes back. And while all objects have a different rate of return to the earth, there are none that can defy gravity. Gotta get a witness here. Y'all know what I'm talking about. All we need to do is look at ourselves. Gravity is operative. As we look at our... Oh, y'all don't know. Amen. It's coming down. Is that right? Help me, Holy Ghost. But Jesus' ascension defied the law of gravity. He went up and he did not come down. He stayed up. Is that right? He stayed up in heaven. The crowd watched him go up and they waited for him to come down. Amen. That's why the angel said, why stand ye gazing? The same Jesus, the way he ascended, he's coming back again. But they assumed that the law of gravity would not apply to Jesus, just as it applied to everything else. They had never seen someone or something go up and not come down. the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15 and 6 that there were more than 500 present,
yes, sir,
at the ascension of Jesus. And Jesus probably gave instructions for their presence at this event. He wanted them there to give final commands before he ascended back to heaven.
Yeah.
And as they assembled, Jesus appeared.
Uh-huh.
And I'm certain in my mind's eye that they were ecstatic. They were excited as they viewed, amen, the risen Savior.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Because you do know that word had spread abroad that he got up.
Yeah.
Amen. But everybody had not seen him there with isolated situations or occurrences where he showed up.
Uh-huh.
And just so that there would not just be one or two that said, we seen the Lord.
Yeah.
500 assembled.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm talking about witnesses that cannot be disputed.
Yeah, yeah.
They may try to discredit one or two, amen, but 500,
yeah,
standing there, amen, on the slopes of the Mount of Olives, and Jesus appeared.
Yes, sir.
Sure, it was difficult, amen, to calm the crowd down, amen, long enough for Jesus to give his final instructions, because after all, amen, this is he who had turned the city upside down. This is he who had led a parade without a permit. He needed to talk to them. What was the purpose of those instructions? I'm glad you're inquisitive enough to ask. They were to affirm Jesus' deity as Christ and the Messiah. They were to affirm that Jesus is God. Is that right? That's the bottom line. That's the thesis of the Gospel of John, that Jesus is God.
Yeah.
That's what he set out to prove in his gospel. He said, truly, many other things did Jesus do in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book.
Yes, sir.
But these are written that you might believe that he is the Son of God, that he is God all by himself. To prove that he is God all by himself. He's deity. He's God.
Yeah.
That's why, as I look at the text, Jesus affirmed his deity in three ways.
All right.
And I'm going to leave you alone.
Come on.
First, Jesus predicted or promised the kingdom.
Yeah.
He promised the kingdom.
Yeah.
That's the first thing. Picture this. There were over 500 standing in some remote spot surrounding their Messiah. And one of the disciples asked Jesus a revealing question. He said, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?
Yeah.
Well, this was a carnal-minded army of followers, and they had only one thing on their mind.
Yeah.
They wanted Jesus to restore Jewish power.
Yeah. Yes,
they
did. Yes.
That's all they wanted. They were tired of this Roman oppression.
Yeah.
And they said, Lord, is this the time that you want to restore the kingdom?
Yeah.
Yeah. They wanted Jesus to free them of Roman rule.
Yeah.
And they didn't want to wait for it.
Yeah.
But they wanted right then and right there. You know what I'm talking about. We can't wait on nothing. We are an impatient people, an impatient society. That's why everything we get, we want it quick. We want it right now. That's why we get upset when we go through the drive-thru and we gotta wait a long time. Because the drive-thru is supposed to be quick. Is that right? Don't you just hate it? When you go to KFC, you want some hot
wings and they never got no hot wings. And they come on with a speaker. They say, it's going to take 10 minutes. Like, in other words, you really don't want to wait, do you? Well, I came for some hot wings. I'm going to wait. Then you got to pull far. You can't wait at the window. But you got to go far. All I'm trying to say is we want everything quick. We don't want to have to wait. That's why we got meals we can pop in the microwave. You know? For over 430 years. Yeah. They said, Lord, how long? Amen. I'm sure they asked. Now, don't get it twisted.
Yeah.
Jesus is going to set up his kingdom on earth.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, he's already, amen, in the hearts and the minds of his people.
Yeah.
Those that believe in him, but there is more to come. Jesus will rule and reign on earth.
Yes, he will.
Y'all know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, amen, a millennial rule. I'm talking about 1,000 years where he sit on the throne of David and rule from Jerusalem. 1,000 years. But after that 1,000 years, I'm talking about eternity. But in the meantime and in between time, amen, he's in the hearts of every believer.
Yes, he is.
And so Christ promised the apostles that they would sit upon the thrones judging the people of Israel. But we cannot wait just sitting around. Amen. Getting caught up in our carnal cravings for position and influence, authority, power, recognition, and prestige, rule and reign. We can't get caught up in all of that. Our focus should be on service and ministry. So while we wait for Christ's return, the harvest is truly white, but the laborers are few. Amen. We've got to tell somebody about the glorious salvation available through Jesus Christ our Lord. So Jesus rebuked the apostles' question, saying, it's not for you to know. The Father had put the times in his own power. In other words, you ought to mind your own business. Can I get a witness here? We need to learn to leave God to his word and focus on our own work. See, you don't need to worry about God doing God. God is going to do his part.
Yeah.
We ought to be focused on ministry.
Yes, sir.
Studying prophecy, studying eschatology is fine, but don't try to set dates and make your exit plan. That's already been tried many times before, and men have faith. All we can do is watch, fight, and pray. Amen. Because we know not the day nor the hour. When the Son of Man shall appear, we just need to be ready. Gotta get a witness here. The second thing Jesus did to affirm his deity is that he assigned each believer a great task and gave him the tools to complete that task. Amen. He promised the kingdom. Then he gave us responsibilities, a task, and the tools to carry out that task.
Yes,
see, some of us think that once we have become saved, that's all God wants to do with us. But no, God wants you to work. Tell you a witness here. God wants you to be involved in service. Amen. We call it the Great Commission. Listen to what Jesus told those who were standing by, the 500 disciples. He said, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. We don't understand what the Holy Ghost came to do. Amen. We think that the Holy Ghost came to make us shout. that the Holy Ghost came, amen, that we could lay hands on the sick and they would recover. We think that that's the reason, the primary purpose of the Holy Spirit, but I come to tell you that it's primary ministry. It's to empower us for service, that we might be witnesses. That's what it said right there in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And when you shall receive power, you shall be what? Witnesses unto me. Everything else is just a byproduct of the Holy Spirit's coming. Have you ever tried? And I know some of us are good at this. You know, we want to be shade tree mechanics and, you know, be handing men around the house. Tried to use a butter knife as a screwdriver. Somebody know what I'm talking about. Amen. Amen. If you have been, you know how important it is to have the proper tools for the task that you're trying to complete. And Jesus proved his deity by promising to equip his believers with the power of the Holy Spirit, which is essentially the tool for effective witnessing. He gave them the assignment and the only tool that they would need to complete the task. Amen. The Holy Spirit. And that task for us is to spread the gospel. Got to get a witness here. To spread the gospel. You got the tools also. I know we talk about the lack of ability, but that's because we refuse to let the power of the Holy Spirit take over, amen, within us. Brothers and sisters, that's really what quenching the spirit is. When we say no to the Holy Spirit. I know some of you may have thought, amen, that when somebody try to sit you down, when you shout and they quenching the spirit. When somebody try to keep you from praising the Lord, they quenching the spirit. But really, quenching the spirit is when you say no. When you have the unmitigated God to tell the Holy Ghost no. That's quenching the spirit. We wrestle control from the Holy Spirit, and then we wonder why we don't have motivation, that we don't have courage, that we don't have fortitude, or we don't have the ambition to spread the gospel. It's because we're not relying on the Holy Spirit. When the disciples asked Jesus about position of leadership, amen, when an authority that he had promised, the mind was on power of the earth, not power of heaven. They envisioned fame, recognition, wealth, and maybe even political position. They had no idea that Jesus was talking about the power of the supernatural. It was God's very own spirit that was to dwell within the heart and the life of believers. And I suggest to you, brothers and sisters, no greater power exists than that of the Holy Spirit. Search the New Testament after the ascension, and you will not find a single disciple ever discussing or desiring earthly power. Once they got God's Spirit into their being, they never again desired any other type of power. With the Holy Spirit dwelling in them, they would never crave anything else. It makes me ask this question: what satisfies you? What satisfies you? Is it position? Is it authority? Is it recognition? Or is it fame? I'll take the Holy Spirit any day over position, prestige, and power. Somebody said in the song, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. With with me.
All right.
I can conquer any foe.
Yeah.
Silence any critic.
Yes, sir.
Remove any stumbling block.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And achieve any goal.
Yes, sir.
When God's Spirit dwells in me.
Yeah.
Greater is he that is in you.
Yes, sir.
Than he that is in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
I have a task.
Yeah.
The same task that Jesus assigned to the believers at his ascension.
Yeah.
It's your mission too.
Okay.
And that is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
To tell the old story of Jesus and his love.
Yeah.
Rise, shine, and give God the glory.
Yeah.
The disciples were huddled together in seclusion until the coming of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
When all fear melted away, that this, amen, and this is no time for us to be huddled together in secluded fellowship.
Yeah, yeah, right.
We gotta get into the streets.
Yeah.
We gotta go into the hedges, highways, and byways, and compel men to come.
Yeah.
That his house may be full.
Yeah.
We have to get busy and teach the world that there is, amen, no purpose in life without Christ. No solutions to problems without Christ. No real joy without Christ. No comfort for loneliness without Christ. No hope for the future without Jesus Christ. Did you know that the word witness is not a command?
Yes, sir.
It's not a command.
All right.
It is simply the natural result or the outpouring of the Holy Spirit within you. Y'all will get that later on. Amen. I know what the Bible says, that we are a witness. But if the Holy Ghost is in you, it just pulls out of you. Did you not hear David say that? My cup runneth over.
Yes, sir.
Filled with the Spirit, you become a witness.
Yeah.
You can't.
Yeah.
It just happens.
Yeah.
Let me put it in a term that you'll understand. It's like the exhaust fume that comes from a car once the engine is started.
Yeah.
Y'all, y'all get that?
Yeah.
It's like the fumes. Is your engine running?
Yeah.
If the engine is running, there's going to be some fume.
Yeah.
Y'all smell that?
Yeah.
Jesus affirms his deity.
Yeah.
Amen. Through his promise of the coming of his kingdom, and through the promise of the Holy Spirit to equip us for kingdom building.
Mm-hmm.
But there was one more affirmation he made at the ascension. The third and final affirmation, Jesus affirmed his deity by ascending to heaven right before the disciples' very eyes.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It was not some isolated occurrence, but he did it in their presence.
Yes, it did.
For verse 9 says, and when he had spoken, while they beheld him, he was taken up. And a cloud received him out of their sight.
Yeah.
Somebody said, chauffeur-driven cloud.
Yeah.
With angelic chauffeurs.
Yeah.
Amen. Jesus stepped on board.
Yeah.
And went back to glory.
Yeah.
You know what they say? Sin is believing.
Yeah.
And a picture here is worth a thousand words.
Yeah.
The ascension left no room for doubt.
Uh-huh.
The 500 stood gazing in the heaven.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit had not yet come.
Uh-huh.
Their response was a called one.
Yeah.
They stood there perhaps waiting for Jesus to come back down.
Uh-huh.
And to take care of unfinished business.
Yeah.
Maybe they fought even with the heaven to get that army of angels.
Uh-huh.
Talked about.
Yeah.
It's right there in Matthew 13.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels.
Yeah.
And they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend. and shall cast him into the furnace of fire.
Yeah.
Thou shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth.
Yeah.
Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of his Father.
Yeah.
Can you witness him?
Yeah.
But we are not gazing into the heavens,
yeah,
waiting for Christ's return. Why? Because Jesus said it is impossible,
yeah,
to predict the day or the hour,
yeah,
when the Son of Man shall appear.
Yeah.
Besides, we have work to do,
yeah,
while we are yet waiting.
Yeah.
For Luke said, blessed is the servant,
yeah,
whom the Lord finds so doing.
Yeah.
Jesus went up, but he is coming back down.
Yeah.
He's coming back to claim his church.
Yeah.
But the church is not a building.
Yeah.
It's the bride of Christ.
Yeah.
The fellowship of saints.
Yeah.
Who have kept busy while waiting for his return.
Yeah.
One day,
yeah,
he'll knock on the door.
Yeah.
Help me, Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
We listen for him knock,
yeah,
while we carrying his cross.
Yeah.
We listen for him knock,
yeah,
while we spread the gospel.
Yeah.
We listen,
yeah,
for him knock,
yeah,
while we satisfy the hungry.
Yeah.
While we defeat the enemy, we listen for him not. While we work untroubled, we listen for him not. While we fight unceasingly. Why? Because Jesus promised that what goes up must come down. What goes around comes around. But he will return. Our Savior keeps his promises. He never failed us yet. 2,000 years ago, he came as a baby. But when he returns, he'll come as a king. When he came, he was wrapped in swaddling clothes. When he returns, he'll be robed. Jesus has defied the for you and for me.
Yes, amen.
For one of these days,
oh Lord,
we'll be there alone.
Yeah.
He's coming right back.
Yes.
Right back to the Mount of Olives.
Yes.
The Bible says when his feet shall strike the Mount of Olives, he shall split it in two.
Yes.
What power? What power? What power? What power? What glory?
Yes.
The Savior that we serve. That we have a responsibility. That God has given you a task. And I say it to our church this morning that isn't it wonderful that God has not asked you to do anything that He has not given you the power to accomplish? Can you imagine that? Whatever comes across the vistas of your imagination, whatever you dream of, whatever visions that God gives to us, God will give us the power to carry it out. I believe that's what they call it in gambling terms. That's a stag deck. It's stacked in our faith. Amen. That's some gambling that you can't lose. You pull that lever.
Yes,
you want to live.
Yeah.
God has promised
us. Yes,
He's given us the power of the Holy Spirit to carry it out. Is that all right? So don't whine, don't weep, don't talk about your inability. Don't talk about your insignificance. Don't talk about your lack of resources, your lack of numbers, or anything like that. If God said it, God is going to provide. So dream, reach to the highest of heights. Don't wallow in mediocrity, because the God we serve, God all. Something today.
Yeah.
Go forward forcefully, knowing that the God that energizes you cannot fail, will not fail, will not run out of. He's got more than enough.
Yeah.
I believe Pastor Jones said we're on a 2-year journey.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
But I believe that the God that we serve can circumvent the time frame. Even sooner than that. Do it in the name of the Lord. Not in the name of Timothy. Not in the name of Clarence Jones. But in the name of God. God will bring it to fruition. Amen. Watch out. Look up. It's on its way. May God bless you. May His Spirit keep you in His heart.